Thank you. Message for every generation. Maybe today is one of those very special days that we need to kind of seek and feel the presence of the Lord. Anybody got any stress in here? Is it stress? You know, kind of. Sometimes I wish we had a stress level that, and then all of a sudden you'd put this zapper gun out there and go, and then after a given song you go, and then at the end of the message you go, no, not really. Because you know, stress is something I think we all deal with. In fact, if you really begin to look at stress, what can it do to you? It can give you all kind of mental problems, physical problems. It can get, you can have infection. You can have emotional problems, depression. A lot of things can come as a result of stress. Well, I think as we think about stress just for a few moments, and we're going to give you a whole lot of territory, the conclusion to the whole matter is this. We need to yoke up with Jesus Christ. And when we yoke up with Jesus, when we take Christ's yoke upon us, and we learn of Him, He will help us in that day. He will give us recreation. He will give us a break in the course of time. Because a fact, do you know oxen? You can take one ox and it might pull 1,000 pounds. And you can take another ox and it might pull 1,000 pounds. But if you put two oxes together, it can pull 4,000 pounds. Isn't that amazing? But they can do it. Well, watch it. And you begin to say, what in the world does that have to do with anything? Did you look at the yoke? Did you see what was connected the two oxen together? Two can pull twice as much as what one can. And when we connect in with Jesus Christ, what we discover is we can go much further because His burden is light. And all the setting behind this, it goes back to John as we're studying Matthew chapter 11. Goes back to John, and John was in prison. And John sent a message by his disciples saying, Jesus, are you the one or do we look for another? Jesus sent back word and said, tell them, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the gospel's being preached to the poor. And then he went on to say to the disciples around him, said, look, what do you see in John? You just see a weed just blowing out in the wind? He says, I tell you, no child, no man born of woman is greater than John the Baptist. But even a child, the least child in the kingdom of God, is greater than John the Baptist. And so all of a sudden he begins to say, well, wait a minute. I want to understand this. And Jesus begins to tell us something very special right in here. And I want you to pick up on it as we're picking up in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 11, verse 16. But what shall I say unto this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, yet the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom justifieth her children. If you're going to discover peace, you need to find it right here in this book of Matthew. As he talks about the beginning of peace, the beginning of rest, the beginning of releasing of stress actually begins with repentance. Now that sounds a little bit different. Repentance means change. When there's something in your life that so got you gripped, pushed down, tore up on the inside with anxiety, one thing has got to occur, and that's change. Because if you continue on in the same way, you'll probably get the same results. But what was the repentance that Jesus was talking about? He wanted people, he wanted men, he wanted women to begin to see, look upon the kingdom of heaven in a different light. I think from the call of Christ, coming out of the sector, the marketplace, the scripture teaches us, he said unto them, hey, we called out to you fellows, we piped, but you didn't dance. The Christians were saying, reaching out into the community, we sent out music, we sent out celebration, but you didn't rejoice. We sent out suffering, but you didn't cry. But you know, when you look at it from the world's viewpoint, something quite different. We piped, and you didn't dance. When you look at it from the world's viewpoint, here's John, okay, we're talking about John and Jesus, the two examples that we picked up on last week. And society says this, we piped, we played the musical instruments, but John, you didn't dance to our tune. What's he saying? He's saying, look, don't conform to the world. And then he said, we suffered, and you didn't mourn. Look at Jesus. Jesus was the suffering servant. He suffered a lot for you and me, and yet the world with the people saying, look, we suffer, but you didn't conform to us. What does the Bible teach? Romans chapter 12 in verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But then note this. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Don't be conformed. The world is going to send out its music, send out its ideas, send out its philosophies. And the easiest thing to do is to conform to the stress factor of the world. He said, don't do it. Don't do it. There is another way. There is a change, but you've got to focus in on this. Because there was one generation that he began to call out, he said, the children of this generation, but there were two voices. The two voices, one came from John the prophet. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what did they say in verse 18? For John came eating, neither eating nor drinking, and what did they say about him? He's got a demon in him. The world wanted to conform John. And because John wouldn't conform, they said he's got a demon because he's not like us. Then Jesus comes along and Jesus preaches, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what did they say of him? Next verse. The Son of Man, verse 19 says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking and saying, behold, a man gluttonous, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom justifieth her children. Now, what's going to happen is you're going to see that the root of all civil life is godlessness. And then all of a sudden we're going to see this godlessness is going to come into focus on three cities. And you'll see those three cities. Well, let me read them for you, beginning with verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein the most mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe to Chorazin, woe unto Bethsaida, for mighty works were done. It had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and in ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable of Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works had been done in thee, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. What is our Lord trying to say to us? Let me capture this just for you. What was their approach of the kingdom of heaven? When Jesus came, the approach of the kingdom of heaven, He wanted them to see not moving away from the law, but fulfilling the law. Not being a lawbreaker, but a fulfiller. For instance, let me give you for instance. People were blind. Why were people blind? Net result was because of sin had crept into the world. There was no blindness when Adam and Eve was in the world. Until sin entered in the world, then blindness came. What did Jesus do? Jesus healed the blind man to do what? To revert it back to the original intention. And that was no blindness. There was a lame man. Why was he lame? Because sin had crept into the world, and when Jesus healed the lame man, He was reverting back to the original condition. So, if you begin to look at the kingdom of heaven, what Jesus is saying, guys, let's make a change. Let's go back to the original and let's find peace. And let's remove the stress. Let's come into a proper relationship and let our bodies behold and mind and oneness with God. So God is saying to you, how do you look at the reality of this? How do you look at the kingdom of God today? Is it Christ coming back into focus? Is the world coming back into original? Well, there was one generation. There was two voices, but there were three cities. And inside of these three cities, what did Jesus say to them? He said, woe unto them. Now, inside of these three cities, what do you have? Capernaum, which was a large city. It was a city with a military presence there. It was on the waterfront. Inside of this city, it's where Jesus, when He left Nazareth, He came and He dwelt in that city. And right next to it, there was Bethsaida. That was the home of Peter. I think in James and John was also inside of that home. And then just north, Chorazin was about 2 miles north of Capernaum. And in all of these cities, in this triad, Jesus Christ had performed miracles. But what was the result? Jesus upbraided them and said, look, this is the net result. You chose darkness. You chose to reject the light. You chose to reject the authority of God. You chose to reject the power of God. You chose to reject the Son of God. And therefore, because you chose to reject these, this is the net result. It would be better for you, He says, in the day of judgment that is coming, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, wait a minute. When we say Sodom and Gomorrah, does anything get worse than that? I mean, what did God do to Sodom and Gomorrah? He did. He got out the big zapper. Flame on. Okay? Clean out. Possibly where the Dead Sea is today. Whew, big hole. Nothing there. But He said that Capernaum was worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. How could that be? Well, you could say, hey, look, morally, it could not be worse than that. Here's the difference. The light, Jesus Christ, had come to Capernaum. Had come to Bethsaida. Had come to Chorazin. The light, the Son of God. And when they rejected the light, oh, they said how strong they are. But God says, woe to you. And because they rejected the light, Jesus Christ, they will receive the judgment. Now, how did it work out? You know where Capernaum is today? What Capernaum looks like? Let's see what a net result of Capernaum is. Let's show it, Larry. Or maybe we've already gone by there. The first one. Hey, Capernaum. All you can see right there, if I could show it, I stood in Capernaum, and that little shell of a place right there is a synagogue. And all it is just remnants. What happened to Capernaum, this great city? Folks, it's gone. Look at the next one. And we see on the next one, Pisidia. What is that? All they have of this great city today is nothing but a field. And what was the next one? Chazron. The only thing, they excavated this, and this is all that's left of that great city, 2 miles north of Capernaum, where Jesus had performed all the miracles. What is this saying? The Bible's teaching us that we need to change our minds from the way we look at the kingdom of God and come back into focus with Jesus Christ. Come back to the original intention of God. Change from the way the world is trying to formulate, move us into its system and follow Jesus Christ. When that happens, there's a change of mind. And when that happens, there's a concept that's changed. And then thinking is changed. And then conduct is changed. First, there's conception. And then there's external conduct based upon, finally, the character. When you have a change of heart, when you hear, when you change inside of you, there will be something different. And how does that affect? How does that affect the release of stress? Well, let's go to the next step. The next step is, we're going to pick it up with verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things were delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal himself. If we're going to have our stress level lowered, not only is there got to be a change of mind and change of heart, which is called repentance, but there's also got to be recognition. Recognition of the Father. The Father is the second step to relieve stress, because stress release is a God thing. Now we think about, man, if I stop doing this and this and this and this. No, if you really want to have peace inwardly, if you really want to have your health better, if you really want to live life more complete, then you got to go back and say, well, where is this thing coming from? And if we focus in on God, and then all of a sudden we recognize the real truth right there, then God will begin to make everything else come into its proper place. Truth is revealed. Hey, who did He reveal it to? To the wise? No. The prudent? Well, the prudent and the wise. Who were these guys? One of those guys, they had the knowledge. And the other guy was wise in what to do with the knowledge. Is that whom God chose? No. He chose the simple, the innocent. That's the reason I qualify. Okay? All of a sudden we come back in light of this. That's who He chose. The wise were literally the people who were gifted with practical skill, natural acumen, and ability to understand. The prudent were those who were able to put all things together. Now, here's the kicker. Why do some of the wisest people not know how to put it together? Here's the reason. Because they're wise. And because they're prudent. And they think that their wisdom and their knowledge is the final result. Let me rephrase this. Many people who are wise and prudent think they've got it all worked out. And they think that's the final result. And because of that, they can't understand the God factor. They think they've got through all of these different things that the world offers, they've got it all worked out. And this is it. This is the answer. All you have to do is go to the book market and you can see all kind of books. They'll tell you how to do and what to do with stress, okay? I mean, there's plenty of books out there. Read all the titles, you'll get stressed out. I mean, the books are out there. But if you'll begin to recognize and come back to this simple thing that God wants to help me in my stress factor, but I've got to understand that it is a God thing, and God chose not to give this truth to those who think they've got it all together because they think it's done. He gives it to the simple, and He says, because of that, they will trust me, they will understand, and they will discover this peace of soul. Now, the Lord's Prayer. Do y'all know what the Lord's Prayer is? Starts out with our Father, right? Got another Lord's Prayer. And sometimes we kind of overlook it. Look in verse 26. This is another Lord's Prayer. This is not one that we pray every day, but maybe we ought to think about it.
At this time, verse 25, at this time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son reveal him. What is the prayer? When you pray, how do you pray? I mean, let's just take, this is a commercial. Infomercial. How about that? Okay, this is the infomercial. How do you pray? What is a Lord's prayer? This is a Lord. This is the Lord praying. Jesus approached the Father with a what? A heart of thanksgiving. He said, I thank thee, O Father. Jesus approached the Father with recognition of His authority. Lord of heaven. Jesus approached the Father with specific praise, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Jesus approached the Father with His will be done. He said, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Jesus approached the Father with acknowledging the source of things can be entrusted. He said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Jesus approached the Father with recognition. No man knoweth the Father, knoweth the Son, but the Father, neither any man the Father save the Son. And Jesus approached the Father, expressing the mission of the Son. And He, to whomsoever the Father will reveal Himself. Now, what are the elements in your prayer life? Now, I gave that real quick and real fast and real furious. But in your prayer life, do you give God thanksgiving? In your prayer life, do you give God authority? In your prayer life, do you give God specific praise? In your prayer life, do you pray God's will be done? In your prayer life, do you acknowledge the source is coming from God and it is entrusted even within you? In your prayer life, do you recognize the Father? In your prayer life, you express the mission. Maybe for you, or maybe about the specific need that you're praying for somebody else. In your prayer life, Jesus recognized the Father is really the second step. But the last step that we're looking at is rest. Is rest. Oh, now if you want to put a mark in your Bible, mark verses 28 through 30. These are our final verses this morning. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Stress release, invitation only. Invitation only. What does God want to do? God wants to bring peace in your soul. And when your soul is at peace, then you can be at peace in the world. How does it happen? First of all, He says, come. Come. Answer the invitation. Jesus Christ said, He is the source. He said, come unto who? Come unto me. That's what Jesus said. Come unto me, all you who are laboring. Anybody laboring out there? Let me put it in this way. Anybody not laboring out there? Whether, don't tell me changing diapers isn't laboring. Don't give me that one now. I mean, you know, you can labor in many different type of capacities. All of us in this world have work. Being in the home, being in the workplace, being playing. Y'all ever go off on vacation, you come back and you're tired of it when you left? Why don't we call it vacation? Rest and relaxation. I come back, your tongue's hanging out. It kind of works that way. But you know what? Work does that way sometimes. But you know what? Work is a blessing in the home, wherever it might be. Work is a blessing. But what happens when work gets to the extreme and then it becomes toil? How is that? All you who labor and are heavy laden, when the work is no longer fun, the blessing aspect, then it becomes toil. Does that ever hit you in your journey? All of a sudden, your work becomes toil. If you got stressed out over the many different factors of your life, he said, look, here's an invitation. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Now, I like that word rest. That word rest is, what is, hey, let me spell it out to you. R-E-C-R-E-A-T-I-O-N. What is that word? What? Recreation. I thought it was recreation. How do you spell recreation? The same way? Isn't that amazing? What does God want to give you? Recreation. And many times, even in your work, we think recreation, but it's really recreation. Come unto me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you recreation. I'll give you breath. I will give you, hey, I'll hold off that flood that's coming. I'll give you a breather. I will help you, he said. Come to me. But now, when you answer the invitation, what do you have to do? You have to take my yoke. Conscious commitment. Take my yoke upon me. Now, do y'all know the reason I showed the picture of those oxen? And I told you, look for the yoke. Because if we're going to have recreation and rest and have our stress level reduced down to an element that's not harmful to ourselves, then we have to put on the yoke of Jesus Christ. We have to team up with Him. Put my yoke upon me. And not only do we have a conscious commitment, then we learn, Scripture says, and learn of me. Jesus says, when you really get to know me, you're going to love me because I'm meek, I'm lowly, I'm approachable. I will help you. I will encourage you all the way. And he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is it for real? Or am I just reading you off some words? What happens when you let these words hit your heart? Does it change things? I submit to you that it does. And somebody else, Courtney, submits this statement.
Hello, everyone. This is a testimony I wrote. I thought I'd share it with y'all today. When everything in my life was going so completely wrong, I so stubbornly thought that I could fix everything myself. But the harder I tried, the further I sank. It took the Lord to bring me to my knees before I turned to Him. And we so often wait until we hit rock bottom before we ask God for His help. This is one of our biggest mistakes. And sometimes we curse God for not being there for us in our time of need, ignorantly not knowing that He was there with us all along. All we had to do was turn to Him and ask for His help. In a pit of self-despair, I had a moment of clarity that helped me to realize I needed help and I needed to change my life. I had no one else to turn to, for I had surrounded myself with bad people. But I was still not actually alone. I had God. And when I reached out to Him, He reached back and He lifted me up. He gave me the wisdom to get myself on the right path. He led me back to my family, a better way of life, and He gave me strength to better myself. I still make many mistakes as I am only human, but I ask God to forgive me and give me the strength and wisdom to overcome my obstacles. Just knowing that I'm surrounded by God's love keeps me going and fills my heart with joy, hope, and love. But we should not just turn to God when things are going wrong, but also when things are going good. We should praise Him and thank Him, for it is He that has given us all we have to be thankful for. When things do go wrong, we should thank Him for giving us the strength to make it through and carry on. And we should never question God when things don't turn out the way we wanted them to, for in God's infinite wisdom is a plan for us that we cannot yet see. I have come to understand that God has a special plan for each and every one of His children, and I take comfort in knowing this through good times and bad. I can do all things through He who strengthens me. God bless.
John, in prison. Christ, is it you? Jesus on the streets, preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Will it bring about change in you? Three cities, they heard. Change your idea, your concept of the kingdom of heaven. If you do, then you will have life. If you don't, then you will have death. Jesus says to us, what do we want today? What do we want today? Do we want our stress level changed? Then we must repent. Change our mind, thinking. Basically, surrounding the kingdom of heaven. Ultimately, our relationship with recognition of the Father. And finally, He says, just accept me. Accept my way. He loves us. He cares for us. And He will give you rest. Rest. And what is rest? The world says it's recreation. God says it's recreation. And He will change your life. Let's pray. Father, today may there be changes taking place. The world cries out and pipes its music in, saying, dance to its songs. But Lord, let us reject the way of the world and listen to Christ. The world says, join in our suffering. Let us not lament over the sin of the world, but let us love Christ. Father, if I put the stress level inside of this room right here, I know it's high, Lord. Part of stress is good, but if it goes too far, it's harmful. Lord, help me in my life to be focused in upon You. And may I too, Lord, experience recreation as I acknowledge You. In Jesus' name. Today we share together to give you the opportunity to take a rest. Isn't that neat?